Eli Lilly makes another in vivo genetic medicines move with $3.2 billion Kelonia acquisition. Eli Lilly is not buying a single phase 1 drug for multiple myeloma. It is buying the solution to a manufacturing crisis that has kept the CAR-T class confined to tens of thousands of patients when the addressable population numbers in the millions. The $3.25 billion upfront acquisition of Kelonia Therapeutics, announced April 20, represents Lilly's third in vivo genetic medicines deal in 12 months, a consolidation sprint that reveals where Big Pharma believes the next decade of oncology and autoimmune innovation will be won. The deal's headline terms include up to $3.75 billion in milestone payments, bringing total potential consideration to $7 billion for a company whose lead asset, KLN-1010, has treated exactly 4 patients. That valuation becomes rational only when viewed through two lenses: the structural dysfunction of ex vivo CAR T economics, and the platform potential of Kelonia's lentiviral delivery technology to address indications far beyond blood cancer. Ben Zurcher, senior biotech and pharma analyst at PitchBook, framed the acquisition as Lilly using today's cash flow to fund tomorrow's growth drivers as GLP-1 pricing pressure looms on the horizon. Jacob Van Naarden, Lilly's executive vice president and president of Lilly Oncology and head of corporate business development, stated, "The early clinical data for KLN-1010 are highly encouraging, both as a potential step forward for patients with multiple myeloma and as proof of concept for Kelonia's platform. We look forward to working together with the Kelonia team to rapidly advance KLN-1010 to address patient need and recognize the full potential of their platform in other conditions where patients may benefit." For institutional capital, the calculus is clear. Lilly is not paying for proof of efficacy in multiple myeloma. Bristol Myers Squibb's Abecma and Johnson & Johnson's Carvykti already own that market with ex vivo CAR-T therapies. Lilly is paying for proof of concept that CAR-T can be industrialized, that the manufacturing bottleneck can be eliminated, and that a platform capable of retargeting across oncology and autoimmune indications can be scaled. The company expects to close the transaction in the second half of 2026. The ex vivo manufacturing trap: why Lilly paid $3.25 billion to escape it. Current CAR-T therapies require a patient's T-cells to be extracted, shipped to a centralized facility, engineered in a lab to express a chimeric antigen receptor targeting cancer cells, expanded, quality controlled, and shipped back, a process that can take weeks and costs hundreds of thousands of dollars per dose. The complexity introduces failure risk at every step: contamination, inadequate cell expansion, logistical delays. Patient preparation includes a preconditioning drug regimen that adds toxicity and complication risk, further narrowing the eligible population. Kelonia's approach eliminates the lab entirely. Its proprietary technology uses lentivirus-based particles engineered to enter T cells inside the patient's body, programming them in vivo to express the CAR. Kevin Friedman, Kelonia's CEO and former chief scientific officer, described in a 2022 interview how the company detargets the lentivirus from binding to unintended cells, then decorates it with antibodies that direct the virus and its genetic payload to T cells. The therapies are designed as one-time treatments with no preconditioning regimen required. The early clinical data for KLN-1010, which targets BCMA, a protein on the surface of B cells driving multiple myeloma, were presented at the American Society of Hematology annual meeting in December. All 4 patients treated showed a 100% minimal residual disease negative response rate, meaning no detectable cancer cells remained. Critically, no incidence of cytokine release syndrome, the excessive immune response that represents a known CAR-T complication, were classified at grade 3 or higher. Results also showed no neurotoxicity and lower rates of cytopenias, the low blood cell levels that complicate ex vivo CAR-T treatment. 3 patients received a high dose, 1 received a lower dose. The sample size is minuscule, but the safety profile, combined with the elimination of manufacturing complexity, is what justifies the valuation. Lilly is not betting on KLN-1010 alone. It is betting on a platform that Friedman noted could be re-engineered to target different tissues by switching out the genetic cargo. The 3 deal pattern: Lilly assembles an in vivo genetic medicines franchise. Kelonia is Lilly's second in vivo cell therapy acquisition of 2026. In February, the company acquired Orna Therapeutics, whose lead program is an in vivo CAR-T treatment targeting CD19 on B cells, on track to begin phase 1 testing in autoimmune diseases. Orna's approach uses circular RNA rather than lentiviral vectors, positioning it for applications where transient expression is preferable to the durable genetic modification needed in oncology. Last summer, Lilly paid $1 billion to acquire Verve Therapeutics, completing a trio of in vivo genetic medicine acquisitions across 3 modalities: base editing, Verve, circular RNA, Orna, and lentiviral delivery, Colonia. The pattern is unmistakable. Lilly is building a house view that in vivo genetic medicines will define the next era of precision therapeutics, and it is acquiring the three most differentiated platform technologies before they mature into competitive threats or require nine-figure upfront payments. Zurcher observed that the $3.25 billion upfront for a Phase 1 program may look rich, but it reflects the scarcity of clinical stage in vivo CAR-T assets. That scarcity premium is compounded by validation from big pharma partnerships. Astellas Pharma began a collaboration with Colonia in 2024 to discover and develop in vivo CAR-T therapies for undisclosed targets. Johnson & Johnson initiated a similar collaboration last fall. Those deals signal that Colonia's platform was already perceived as best-in-class before Lilly moved to acquire it outright. The timing of the deal, immediately following Lilly's acquisition last week of CrossBridge Bio, a startup developing antibody-drug conjugates for cancer, underscores the company's urgency to diversify beyond metabolic disease. Mounjaro and Zepbound, Lilly's blockbuster GLP-1 drugs, are generating the cash flow funding this acquisition spree, but new entrants threaten pricing power in the obesity market. Lilly is redeploying capital into oncology and autoimmune platforms with durable competitive moats. Platform economics, the real valuation driver beyond multiple myeloma. The multiple myeloma indication for KLN-1010 is strategically useful. It competes directly with Bristol Myers Squibb's Abecma and the Johnson & Johnson/Legend Biotech partnership's Carvykti, providing a head-to-head comparison that could demonstrate manufacturing and safety advantages over ex vivo CAR-T. But the platform's economic value lies in its ability to be re-engineered for additional targets across oncology and beyond. Friedman's 2022 comments about switching genetic cargo to address different indications suggest a modular architecture. The lentiviral delivery mechanism remains constant, while the targeting antibodies and therapeutic payload can be swapped out. That modularity is what justifies a $7 billion maximum deal value for a four-patient dataset. If Colonia's platform can be validated in multiple myeloma, it becomes a repeatable engine for generating differentiated assets across high-value indications. The absence of a preconditioning regimen is an underappreciated economic lever. Current ex vivo CAR-T therapies require lymphodepleting chemotherapy to make room for the engineered cells, introducing toxicity that excludes elderly or frail patients. Eliminating that step expands the eligible population, which expands the market. If Lilly can demonstrate that in vivo CAR-T is safer, faster, and cheaper than ex vivo alternatives, it collapses the cost structure of the entire category and positions itself to dominate market share across multiple indications. Key figure, $3.25 billion upfront, up to $3.75 billion in milestones, a $7 billion total valuation for a Phase 1 asset with four treated patients. The implied premium reflects platform scarcity and the potential to eliminate CAR-T manufacturing as a bottleneck. The Plaquemine view: Lilly is not buying drugs. It is buying infrastructure, the manufacturing and delivery platforms that will determine which companies can scale precision therapies in the 2030s. The Colonia, Orna, and Verve acquisitions represent three distinct bets on in vivo genetic medicine modalities, but the unifying thesis is the same. Ex vivo manufacturing is a dead end for mass market precision medicine, and the companies that solve in vivo delivery will own the next decade of oncology and autoimmune innovation. What the market is underpricing is the platform leverage. If Colonia's lentiviral approach proves out in multiple myeloma, Lilly gains a repeatable architecture for generating best-in-class assets across dozens of indications by swapping targeting antibodies and genetic payloads. The four-patient dataset is irrelevant. What matters is the proof of concept that you can engineer T cells inside the body without triggering cytokine storms or neurotoxicity at rates that make the therapy unusable. The second-order implication is that Bristol Myers Squibb, Johnson, and Johnson, and other ex vivo CAR-T incumbents face a strategic obsolescence risk. If in vivo CAR-T eliminates manufacturing complexity and preconditioning toxicity, the cost and patient eligibility advantages make ex vivo approaches economically uncompetitive except in niche indications where transient expression is unacceptable. That dynamic sets up a manufacturing arms race where Lilly's early consolidation of platform technologies gives it first-mover advantage in scaling production. The Astellas and Johnson partnerships are canaries in the coal mine. When competitors are willing to partner rather than wait to see Phase 2 data, it signals that the platform is perceived internally as best in class and that the risk of being shut out exceeds the risk of overpaying for early stage validation. Lilly's decision to acquire rather than partner suggests the company reached the same conclusion and decided platform control was worth paying a scarcity premium in 2026 rather than competing for assets in 2028 after Phase 2 readouts. The obesity cash cow is funding a portfolio transformation. Zurcher's observation that new entrants likely to pressure GLP-1 pricing is the unstated rationale for this acquisition sprint. Lilly is harvesting Mounjaro and Zepbound revenue to build moats in oncology and autoimmune disease before biosimilar and small molecule competition erodes metabolic margins. The company is trading near-term earnings compression for long-term platform ownership in categories with durable pricing power. The bottom line: Eli Lilly's $3.25 billion Kelonia acquisition is a calculated bet that CART's manufacturing crisis is solvable, and that solving it unlocks a multi-indication platform worth multiples of the purchase price. The deal follows a clear pattern: three in vivo genetic medicine acquisitions in 12 months, each addressing a different modality but unified by the thesis that ex vivo manufacturing is a bottleneck that caps the addressable market for precision therapies. The four-patient dataset for KLN-1010 is not the point. The 100% minimal residual disease negative response rate and benign safety profile are proof of concept that in vivo CAR-T can work without the toxicity and complexity that have confined the drug class to narrow patient populations. For institutional capital, the question is not whether Lilly overpaid for a phase 1 asset. The question is whether other pharma giants will be forced to pay higher multiples in 2027 and 2028 as clinical data mature and platform scarcity intensifies. Lilly is using GLP-1 cash flow to preemptively consolidate the in vivo genetic medicines landscape, building a house of platforms that could define oncology and autoimmune therapeutics in the next decade. The Kelonia deal closes in the second half of 2026. By then, the market will have a clearer view of whether Lilly's platform consolidation strategy is visionary or premature. Our read, it's the former, and competitors are already a deal cycle behind.